But anyway, let's pray tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful to be gathered here tonight, Lord, in our respective homes, but each one of us in your presence, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come again and we can share in your word and just share time one with another, Lord. And we pray that your hand be upon us, this church, this assembly of people, and God, help us to walk in your ways, Lord. Help us to achieve your will, God. And Lord, help us tonight open our minds and our hearts, Lord, that your word, God, that your word would go down deep on the inside, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to just go right into the word of the Lord here. We are going to go to Psalm 29, and I'm going to read the entire psalm, and I think we're going to cover the entire psalm. It's not, I don't have a ton of stuff here, so I think that this will work fairly well. But if you would closely follow this, and when we get, before we read this, I want you, as we read this, to think on this. I want you to think on thunder and lightning. Thunder and lightning. And as it would be when I was studying for this here in Kansas City, or in Lee's Summit, we were under tornado watch, and there was an electrical storm going on with thunder. And so here I was studying this passage, and the thunder was rolling outside. And I don't know, it was pretty cool to have this happen. But when you think of this, when you're reading into this, I want you to think thunder and lightning every time you can apply that. And you, I'll tell you why when we get done. But starting with verse 1, it says, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Again, think thunder, the voice of the Lord. Think it's like a thunder rolling. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. And again, think thunder, lightning. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. I'll explain that. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. And I'm going to talk about Sirion. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. Can you see the imagery of lightning there in verse 7? If you look at verse 7, see that imagery of lightning. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And again, I think we've all been in a house when it would thunder so loud and so hard that it would make the windows rattle. And this here says the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And I'm going to mention what Kadesh is. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. The Lord, verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. And again, think thunder and lightning, rain will accompany that sometimes. And it says, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned forever. Sits enthroned as king forever. Excuse me. Verse 11. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And this is not in my notes, but let me just say that these verses previously is referring to God as something that would be fearful, something that would be scary. The voice of the Lord, you know, makes the wilderness shake and tremble. And it's just this thunderous voice. And so you think of God as this, in your image, your mind of being something so almost just to be feared, to be, you know, a terror. But then it says, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. So the Lord that thunders and lightnings, he also can bless his people with peace. But let's go back up to verse number one. And I want to say a couple of things about this. And you guys are going to, some of you, I wish we were sitting here in the sanctuary, because I would love to see the expressions on your faces when I mentioned what I'm fixing to say. Just the you know, for you to sit there and to try to act not surprised. But I'm going to tell you the background behind this psalm. And folks, this is fascinating to me. The background behind this psalm is absolutely fascinating. There is what I feel to be very credible evidence. In fact, there are many historians say that David took an ancient poem or psalm written, are you ready? An ancient song written to a pagan deity and reworked the wording, and it became Psalm 29. And you say, now wait a second, Brother Wiggins, I don't know about that. I don't know that. Why would David do that? And what's the proof? Well, some of the proof of it is David uses some ancient Hebrew in this psalm that wasn't even really in use during the time of David. It was ancient Hebrew words that weren't even really being used so much, and that it was like it was from a different source. And there are historians that says that this, that there was an ancient song written by the Phoenicians, and it was written to, and this is where it's going to kind of start making sense, it was written to Baal. You know how probably Baal was the most thought of pagan deity in the Old Testament. And Baal was, are you ready? Baal was the storm god. Baal was the storm god. And so David took this, some historians say that he took this ancient song that had been written to Baal, the storm god, and reworked the wording. And you're going to say, now, wait a second. Again, you're going to say, I just don't see why that would seem pagan. Well, you say, well, why would he do that? Let me answer it this way. Was Amazing Grace, was that melody original? Think about it. When you hear worldwide, I don't care where you are in the world, just about, when you hear that melody, the melody of Amazing Grace, everybody knows that that's Amazing Grace. But did you know America, the melody for Amazing Grace was an old Irish drinking song that was sung in pubs and bars in Ireland? And that ship captain, I forget his name now, Carl, you would remember the name, I forget his name now, penned the words Amazing Grace and used the melody to an old Irish drinking song. And you say, well, that's just irreverent. Well, no, that just shows the way, that's just basically saying, listen, God is taking over songs, melodies that would have been used for other things. God's going to take them over. God's going to take over. God reigns. He reigns supreme, and he will take it over. Some people talk about Christmas being a pagan holiday and how we shouldn't celebrate it. But really, when you understand the beauty of it, you say, yeah, fine. It was a pagan holiday. That's even better. That's even better. That means that Jesus Christ, now we can't even hardly, historians fuss and fight over what deities were being reverenced at the Saturnalia December 25th celebrations. They don't even, and it's why, and it's basically because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken over that holiday the same way Amazing Grace took over that melody. And that is the application that I believe David used here, to where he says, you know what, I'm going to. So when you're reading through this, like if you'll look and in verse 1, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. To think of some ancient song saying, ascribe to Baal glory and strength, and David is saying, ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. And then when it says in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, the old ancient song would have said, the voice of Baal is over the waters. David says, no, the voice of Yahweh is over the waters. And when it says, verse 4, the voice of Baal is powerful. The voice of Baal is full of majesty. David said, no, the voice of Yahweh is powerful. The voice of Yahweh is full of majesty. And so this, David did a very intentional act. He was declaring to the pagan world, our God reigns, and our God is the true God. So in verse 1, let me run through these verses. I don't want to run out of time here, so let me try to run through these verses as quickly as I can. Verse 1, ascribe to the Lord, or ascribe to Yahweh, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And this wording is different in some different English translations. Some say, ascribe to the Lord, O ye sons of God, meaning, and but whether you, other says, ascribe to the Lord, O you mighty ones. And basically, however it's rendered, it is ascribe to the Lord, all of you angelic beings. And without getting too off into the weeds, there are some angelic beings that are good, and there were some angelic beings that were good and then turned bad. And that's another lesson for another night. But it's saying, ascribe to the Lord, all you guys, all of you heavenly beings, whether you be good or whether you be bad, you must confess and ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The King James Version says to the worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, where this says the splendor of holiness. And splendor is a little closer to the to the Hebrew, but beauty does actually fit quite well. And what this means literally is clothing. In fact, some translations even talk about worship the Lord in holy attire, worship the Lord in holy robes. And some, there are some English translations that say that, because this word beauty and splendor is actually normally in the Hebrew ascribed to clothing. And you could say, well, Brother Wiggins, what does that mean? Does that mean we're, and some could say, well, that means we need to worship God with the way that we dress. And that's a great point. I mean, you know, we don't, obviously, you're not doing the testimony of Jesus Christ good to walk around town in a bikini. That's not doing, and so, yeah, but that's not really what's in view here. What's in view here is the word worship in Hebrew means to bow down and to surrender. And this holy adornment is not talking literally of clothes. It's saying that, if I can say this right, that they were to be a separated people, separate from the world, separated from the world, but separated unto God. And that was going to be worshiping the Lord in the splendor of holiness, that worshipers are to submit to God in the adornment of being separated from sin, rebellion, and idolatry. So it's not talking about literal garments so much as it's taking the spirit of humility toward God and separating yourselves from sin, rebellion, and idolatry, and just saying that is the beauty or the splendor of holiness. Verse 2, or excuse me, that is verse 2. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the water. The glory of God thunders. The Lord over many, the glory of God thunders the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is frequently in the Old Testament associated with thunder. Job chapter 37 says his voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice. And verse 5, God thunders wondrously with his voice. Psalm 18, the Lord also thundered in the heavens and the Most High uttered his voice. And then Isaiah chapter 30 says, the Lord will cause his majestic voice to be heard, the descending blow of his arm to be seen, the furious anger and flame of devouring fire with a cloudburst and storm. So you can see how the voice of God in several places on that, this is just a few of several, that it's likened unto thunder. And so you look at verse 5. It says, the voice of the Lord breaks cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Two things very important to know. The cedars of Lebanon were the greatest and the grandest of all the trees of the forest. They were the most impressive. And you can see set throughout the Old Testament several references to the cedars of Lebanon. They were the most glorious, the grandest of all the trees of the forest. And it says that the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. And if I can give you some imagery, I don't know if anybody of you have ever had this happen to you, but when I was a lot thinner, and I would do every summer, I would go on 3 or 4 different backpacking trips where I would just put a backpack in my on my back and go into, off into the woods and just spend 3, 4, 5 days in the wilderness. And many, not once, not twice, not even a dozen times, many a time I have come up on a tree that a bolt of lightning struck. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, and it might, if you haven't seen it, it's shocking. But a bolt of lightning can take a good sized tree that, I mean, has, that's, you know, pretty big around, and it can split it right in half. And I'm serious, it can do it. A bolt of lightning can split a tree in half. I've seen it. I've seen it in the mountains when I've been backpacking. And I remember the first one I saw, my dad was with me, and he showed it to me. And he said, Timmy, this tree got split by a bolt of lightning. And you notice it says here, it says, the voice of the Lord, think of the thunder and the lightning, breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 6, he makes Lebanon to skip like a calf. Think of a wild animal hearing thunder and it's scaring them and they run. And I can remember living on a farm back in New Mexico, we would get electrical storms and we would have to hurry and go out and get the horses and get them in the corral, because if they were out in the pasture, the thunder would scare them and they would run straight into a barbed wire fence. So it says he makes the Lebanon, he makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. And folks, I don't have time to go into this, to do this justice, but if I can just hit the high points, and if you can try to keep this in your head, Sirion was the Phoenician name for Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon was in the same mountain range where Mount Sinai was. In fact, Mount Hermon, or Hermon as they pronounced it, was actually taller than Mount Sinai. And there's even a passage in the Bible as though, you know, that's written poetically about Mount Hermon being angry at Sinai because Sinai receives the glory where Mount Hermon is larger, it's higher, it's taller. Mount Hermon was, and I could spend 45 minutes on this, I'm going to spend 30 seconds on it. Mount Hermon in the ancient pagan world was believed to be the dwelling place of the gods. So when you think of Baal or Ashtaroth or Molech or any of these ancient deities, Mount Hermon was believed to be it was the tallest mountain, and it was believed to be by the ancient pagans, they say that is the dwelling place of our God is Mount Hermon, and the Phoenician name is Sirion, but it's Mount Hermon. And basically, if you look at this, it says he makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and makes Sirion or Mount Hermon like a young wild ox. In other words, you got that young wild ox hear that thunder and that lightning of the voice of God. It's going to tremble. It's going to shake. It's going to flee. It's going to run. So you can see how David is really, really throwing, darts at the pagan world here, saying, listen, my God makes Mount Hermon tremble and shake and flee like a young wild ox that just heard a bunch of lightning and is scared to death. Verse number 8, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. I'm going to say two things about this, and then we're really going to be done tonight. Again, David is showing the pagan world. All through this psalm, he has been showing, it's been directed at the pagan world, showing how his God, Yahweh, was superior, greater than the pagan deities that they worshiped. And in verse number 8, though, in my opinion, this is my opinion, so you might have to take it with a bit of a grain of salt. I believe David turns the table from throwing stones at the pagans and turns around to the children of God, the people of God, and throws a slight barb at them. And let me explain. Do you remember the story of how Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and they got in the wilderness? And what did they do once they got in the wilderness? Were they happy and joyful and say, oh, we want to have faith in God? They murmured and they complained. They murmured and they complained. And if you'll remember, it got so bad. Did God let the generation that came out of Egypt go into the promised land? Mm-hmm. No. If you'll remember, read the story, go back and read the story. God made the children of Israel wander around in the wilderness for 40 years until all of that first generation died off. The ones that didn't have belief, their children got to enter the promised land. Caleb got to enter the promised land because he was faithful. Joshua got to enter the promised land. He was faithful. But pretty much all the rest of that generation that came out of Egypt perished out in the wilderness because of unbelief. Okay? I mean, hopefully that story, you remember that story. And here's the thing. It says that the Lord shakes the wilderness of what? Kadesh. Go back and look at your Old Testament. And when God said, listen, you guys are going to wander out here in the desert for 40 years, they started their 40-year wilderness experience in Kadesh. Think of that. They started their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness in Kadesh. And if you were to look, and I can't remember if this is in Deuteronomy or where it is, Aaron died. Aaron did not get to go into the promised land. Aaron died 40 years on the first day of the fifth month of the 40th year after the Exodus from Egypt. And the Bible says that Aaron died at, you guessed it, Kadesh. So I don't know if you're following this here, but please try to follow this. They started their wandering in Kadesh. 40 years later, Aaron dies in Kadesh. So what does that mean? What that means is they start their wilderness wandering in Kadesh, and they wander for 40 years. And then at the end of 40 years, God brings them right back to where they started, right back to Kadesh. And so Kadesh, when you read through, if you're just reading through your Bible, you're going to blow right over the top of verse 8. Because verse 8, if you don't know what the significance of Kadesh, it won't mean anything to you. But if you were an ancient Israelite, you would know exactly what that means. When it says the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh, to the ancient Hebrew, they would say, oh, yeah, that was where we started our wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And that's where we ended our wilderness wandering before being led into the promised land. And so, whereas David seems to be slinging these arrows at the pagans for the first 7 verses, then in verse 8, he turns to the people of God and says, yeah, they're a bunch of pagans, but don't you guys forget about Kadesh, where you doubted God. Where you wander, and he had you wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I want you guys to remember one thing. The Lord's voice also shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And so, I don't know. To me, Psalm 29 is a fascinating psalm. And the last, Carl, if you can get me the last verse of Psalm 29. The last verse of Psalm 29. Again, this great and terrible God that is to be so feared because his voice can split one of the cedars of Lebanon the way a bolt of lightning does. His voice makes Mount Hermon, which would be the dwelling place of the pagan gods. He makes Mount Hermon to tremble and shake. Just the voice of the Lord, the thunder, the lightning of God. But then in verse number 11, this great and terrible God, this God that is to be afraid of, this God that brings terror into the hearts of people because of his greatness. It says, may the Lord give strength to his people, and may the Lord bless his people with peace. So which side of God do you want to be on? I guess is the question I would end this with tonight. Which side of God? We've read in this psalm to where his voice is like thunder. His voice is like lightning. It makes things shake. It makes things tremble. It sparks terror in the hearts of men. But to those that are his people, to those that are faithful to him, that same Lord, it says, may the Lord bless his people with peace. I don't know about you, but friend, that's the sight of God I want to be. I've been in the mountains, and sometime when I have more time, I'd love to tell you of an electrical storm that I was in one time on a backpacking trip that I was on, and just an unbelievable some lightning came down right not too far from where I was. I actually got to hear the crackle of it. I've always heard about that, but I heard the crackle of the lightning and I mean it's one of those deals when you're in that you don't want to be there. I didn't want to be there at the time. I wanted to, I thought, man, here I am backpacked all this way in, and I don't even want to be here right now because I'm just having this electrical storm. But I don't want to be on that side of God. I want to be on the side that says, may the Lord bless his people with peace. That's the side of God I wanted. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I glorify you, Lord. You are the only true God. Where there might be many that are called gods, Lord, there is truly only but one God. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor and all of the reverence and respect that we can give you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.